Last week, Pastor Adams spoke to you about take your position, about Jesus telling his disciples about when the end times will occur, because they really took a big interest in that, and who better to ask than the Son of God when the end of the world is coming. And Pastor Adams summarized the chapter by these three statements. He said, be vigilant, be serious, and be intentional. And he also pointed out that being a Christ follower or disciple or whatever term you choose to call it, that there's a price to pay with that. And even during the hard times that we go through, that we talked through, Pastor Adam talked through, Kisha talked through earlier, the tribulations that we go through, that we are to be peacemakers during that time. We are to bring peace to others. And, of course, he ended with a challenging question, do you love your fellow man? Pointing out that the Son of Man, Jesus himself, did not come to be served by mankind, but he came to serve. And as we endure our trials, church, listen to this, as we endure our trials, our testimony will speak the loudest. As we endure our trials, our testimony will speak the loudest. People are watching you to see how you react when the fire is put under you. And so they're going to see that. And so this morning I would like to tell you about a situation in God's Word that can give us an example of shining brightly in not so bright of a place, a dark place, shining brightly in a dark place. But first off, let me ask you this. Have you ever been put on hold? I'm sure many of you have. I'm not talking about the kind where the automated voice tells you that this call is important, please hold the line. But I mean where God himself puts you on hold. I mean, you've been praying and you've been praising and you've been reading your scripture and you've been doing everything right, yet nothing seems to be happening. Heaven is just silent. There's no progress. Just a whole lot of waiting going on. And so we're going to look this morning at a situation where some followers of Christ knew a thing or two about waiting because they were trapped in a situation where most of us wouldn't do in a situation that they were in or even think of when we're going through hard times ourselves. But they begin to praise in their darkness. And then, just like that, God showed up. But before the breakthrough, there was a moment. There was a moment of tension. The kind of tension that's when it's stretched just right, it can either make music on a violin, but if it's stretched too far, it can snap the string. And that's where some of us are today. Right at the edge of midnight, waiting and wondering. And hoping. So what do you do when God puts you on hold? How do you hang on when you're at 11:59, knowing that midnight is coming? Well, we'll talk about that. But before we begin our worship, please join me this morning as we shout out and declare Psalms 150, verse 6. What is it? Let everything that has breath. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we prepare to worship through the Word, please join me in a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and some of us are in a season of waiting, longing for answers, believing for breakthroughs, yet still feeling like we're stuck. But Lord, we know that you are faithful, for you are our God who just shows up suddenly. And so this morning, as we gather in your presence, we ask that you would strengthen our hearts in the waiting. Teach us to trust you when the answers don't seem to come right away. And to remind us that even in the silence, you're working. And even in the tension, you're still shaping us. And when the time is right, you will move in power. Lord, let your word go forth this morning and stir up faith in those who are weary, hope for the discouraged, and peace for the restless, Father. We surrender this moment of time to you, knowing that this time belongs to you and that breakthrough is on its way. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. Okay, let me set the stage for today's passage. Look with me as I read from Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 26. It says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all of the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed." Okay, here's the deal. Paul and Silas were stuck in prison, backs bleeding, shackled up, in the middle of a dark, smelly place. I don't know if they had lighting in the cells. I highly doubt it. So it was pretty dark as well. And so they had a captured audience, other prisoners, so they decided to praise. And so it's getting close to midnight, right? Everything is bad. Everything is wrong. And yet they start singing. They start singing. I'm not talking about the type of song where "I'm so glad we're stuck here" kind of singing. No, they were praising through their pain. They were praising through their pain that they had endured for Jesus. They were praying. They were singing hymns that they knew, familiar words, in their darkest hour. And boom, an earthquake hits. And when the earthquake hits, the chains fall off, the doors fling open. It's like a scene out of an action movie. And so here's the lesson. You might be sitting in your own version of a prison right now, feeling like everything is stuck, feeling like you're just on hold. And so that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, in what to do when you are at the edge of midnight, when God puts you on hold. You're waiting for something to happen, but all you hear is crickets, nothing. I don't hear anything going on. Well, first of all, point number one, at the edge of midnight, it's a place of tension, a place of restlessness. Listen, if you've ever been in a tension-filled job where the pressure's high and things are going crazy and everything looks like it's on the verge of breaking, you know exactly what I'm talking about this morning. It feels that if you pull that string too tight, then something is going to snap. You just feel it. Can't quite place it, but you feel it. Well, that's where Paul and Silas were. They were stuck between a rock and a hard place, literally. Everything was stacked against them. But instead of feeling sorry for themselves and throwing in the towel, they did something that many believers lose sight of many times, and that's they chose to praise and they chose to worship God. And that's where we find ourselves sometimes, isn't it? We're in this in-between place. At the edge of midnight. And instead, a lot of times, believers get mad at God, at what He didn't come through for you, and we'll show Him. "I'll show you, God. I'll stop coming to church. I don't feel like praising you. I don't feel like you didn't come through for me." And we're certainly not going to give an offering or a tithe, especially after all that I was hoping for and waiting for. But no, instead, Paul and Silas praised through their pain. They held on and became a witness. They became a shining spark to those who were around them sitting in darkness. They were listening to them. In the Bible, you remember Jacob, right? The guy from the book of Genesis? Yeah, Jacob, you know, the trickster, the runner. The guy who's always looking over his shoulder because he's just best with someone. Well, one night in Genesis chapter 32, he found himself where nobody wants to be. He found himself alone. He was alone. He was restless. He was staring down at the barrel of his past, all that he had done, how he had tricked his brother Esau. He went ahead and sent his family across the river. He'd done all that he could, and yet something in him wasn't settled. Something wasn't right. And then at the edge of midnight, it happened. Jacob found himself locked in a fight, not with his brother Esau, not with his past, but instead with a man, a stranger, who refused to let him go. And they wrestled and they struggled and they fought with everything they had. And in that struggle, with everything that he was meant to be, they were fighting and they were wrestling. And then just before the break of dawn, the man touched Jacob's hip, and just like that, it was dislocated. Pain just shot through his whole body. He could have let go. Jacob said, "Oh man, I give. But he didn't. He refused to let go. He hung on. And instead, he did something remarkable. He didn't just hang on. He held on tighter than ever before. Through gritted teeth and through the agony that he felt in his dislocated leg, he said, "I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me and until you bless me." And in that moment, something changed. The man, now revealed to be God himself, who was wrestling with Jacob, he looked Jacob in the eye and he did more than just give him a blessing. He renamed him. He said, "No longer are you Jacob, the deceiver. Now you are Israel, the one who wrestles with God and prevails." You see, that's what happens at the edge of midnight. It's a place of tension. It's a place of struggle. It's a place where fears and doubts can rise up and they demand answers. It's the kind that can wake you up in the middle of the night while you're sleeping. But it's also a place where God meets us, where he turns our wrestling into a revelation and our struggle into surrender and our brokenness into blessing. So if you find yourself there, stuck between fear and faith and doubt and trust, just remember Jacob. I mean, the night may seem to go on forever. The night may seem long, but morning is coming. And with that is God's blessing. Because at the edge of midnight, it always gives way to the break of dawn. There may be times when we're praying and we're trying and we're doing everything that we know to do that would please God, and we still feel that nothing is happening. We don't see anything going on. It's like being stuck at 11:59, right? Nothing has changed yet, but you can still kind of feel that something's about to give, but you can't quite put your finger on it. It's that sweet spot where everything kind of shifts, but you don't know what it is. But you know that you've got to hang in there. And so secondly, the edge of midnight allows God's timing. Let's talk about timing for a moment. Everybody's favorite subject, especially when it's not your timing. I have bad timing. I have the curse of calling people at the wrong time. I'll call somebody and they'll be in the middle of carrying their groceries from their car to the house. So I just usually have a rule with myself. If I want to call somebody, I wait 5 minutes and then I call. But timing. You've been there. I've been there. We all have. At 11:59, Paul and Silas had no clue that God was going to hit the reset button. They were all praying and singing, but they had no idea whenever the clock was going to strike midnight. They didn't have a clock on the prison wall to watch time pass by. But guess what? Timing with God is always perfect. It's always perfect. You don't know when that earthquake is coming. But when it does, I guarantee you, everything will change. And that's why I want to remind you today that if you're in a waiting period, don't throw in the towel. Hang on tight and just press right through it. Keep going. Keep praying. Keep praising. Keep believing. earlier in the passage, chapter 16, the Holy Spirit closed the doors on Paul. In Acts 16, chapter 16, verse 6, it says, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak a word in Asia. And that's why it's important to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You may be wanting to do your very best for God, and you say, God, I'm heading out to do this. But the Holy Spirit, we've got to listen to that Spirit, that prompting in our heart, because He may say, I know you have good intentions, but not yet. And so Paul was very in tune with the Holy Spirit. Paul tried to go this way. He tried to go that way in serving his Savior the best he could. And then all of a sudden, bam, one closed door after another closed door that he encountered. You ever been there? Ever? Where everything you try, it seems to hit a dead end. Well, let me tell you something, church. A closed door is as much God's will as an open door is. That's right. It's all part of the plan that He has for you and I. You might be at your 11:59 right now, but trust me, midnight is coming. When God moves, He moves suddenly, but it's not always right on time. So first of all, the edge of midnight is a place of tension. It's a place of restlessness. And secondly, the edge of midnight allows God's timing. So number three is when we move from vision to reality to where God's will, we discover that it's not always easy sometimes. Here's the kicker. Paul gets this amazing vision. God says in Acts chapter 16, verse 9, after the Spirit closes the door to Asia, it says, go to Macedonia. The people, they need help. He even had a vision of a guy calling out to him in his dream. Well, Paul gets all excited. He goes to Macedonia. And what does he find? He doesn't find a group of strong, strapping men who need saving by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, if you look in Acts chapter 16, verse 17, it says, it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl, having the spirit of divination, met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. So after God opens the door to Macedonia, first of all, Paul finds women. They're praying by the river. And then he goes on, and then bam, he runs into this demon-possessed fortune teller. Not exactly what he signed up for. But here's the thing. God's will doesn't always unfold the way we think it should. It just doesn't. It's not all sunshine and rainbows when God opens a door for you sometimes. Sometimes you follow God's plan and it looks messy. And just because it looks messy doesn't mean that it's not God's will. Paul had to fight devils, literally. I mean, that woman fortune teller wasn't just going to step aside and say, oh, Paul, okay, I understand who you are. Go ahead and I'll shut up while you do your thing. She wasn't going to step aside. And sometimes when we're in the middle of where God wants us to be, it's not easy. That's why it's important for us to keep moving forward. Because the breakthrough sometimes calls, it happens, God reveals it right through the battle that we're going through. Which is the reason for number four, the edge of midnight, is when everything changes. Now let's get to the good stuff. God loves midnight. It's His favorite time to show up for some reason or another. I don't know why. Remember when God freed the Israelites in Exodus chapter 11, verses 4 through 5. At midnight, I will go into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. And boom, that was the night that they were set free. Or you read on in the book of Judges. How about Samson? The book of Judges, chapter 16, verse 3. It tells us that at midnight, verse 3, Samson lay until midnight. And at midnight, He arose and took the doors of the city gate and the two posts and pulled them up along with the bars, and he put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the mountain which is opposite of Hebron. Samson's strength was renewed at midnight. Even when he failed God, he repented and he submitted himself to God, and God renewed him. And he came and he ripped off the gates of Gaza right off their hinges. And not only that, he carried them up a mountain at midnight. That's when everything happens. The chains fall, the doors open, and that's what I believe God is about to do in your life and mine. And here's the deal, though. You've got to hang on through 11:59. Don't bail out now. Don't give up. Stay in the fight. Keep trusting and keep praising, because God has something huge for both you and me right around the corner. The edge of midnight is a place of tension and a place of restlessness. The edge of midnight allows God's timing to take place. The edge of midnight is when God's will isn't always easy. The edge of midnight is when everything changes. And finally, point number 5 is where the edge of midnight is where you don't hang up. You keep pressing on. Let me tell you a story about an evangelist from Vietnam. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, but his name was Hai Inh Pham. In Vietnam in the year 1971, as an interpreter, Hai Inh Pham was raised as a devout Buddhist. One day, he was given a Bible by an American soldier, and he was interested in the Bible, and he had questions about the Bible. And so he found a Christian church to go to where they could explain about who Jesus Christ was and his great love that he had for him. And so Hai Inh believed in Jesus Christ and accepted him into his heart, that Jesus died for him. And he ended up being a very energetic, devout Christian from his new belief in Jesus Christ. And he worked closely as a translator with the American military forces, purely as a civilian. He wasn't in the military. He just worked with them on the side. But he knew English so well that he was able to be of immense help to the American military. And by virtue of that same strength, he also helped other missionaries in that same region. But within 4 years, Vietnam fell to the communists. And when the communists took over, the Viet Cong then took over. They happened to invade the village where he was, and when they found out he was a pastor, and they imprisoned him, and they put him in what they call a rehabilitative camp. He wasn't allowed to read anything. He was isolated for 2.5 years, and every day he did the same thing 2 times a day. He cleaned the latrine. He cleaned the toilets. He cleaned the filthy toilets. He had to get down there with a bucket and shovel and clean out the toilets of the Viet Cong soldiers. And after a while, he had hit a point, after not having any Christianity support from anywhere and hearing no sermons and hearing no songs, no spiritual encouragement whatsoever, at one point he got so low and so depressed that he said, God, if you're there, you're going to have to speak to me. Have you ever been there? And so each day, as in every day, he starts his usual cleaning. But on this day, he notices something that has never been in the latrine before. He sees pages of paper. Not just any paper, but he recognizes the paper. You see, one of those Viet Cong generals had decided that when he found a Bible, he decided to turn it into toilet paper, using Bible pages as toilet paper. And somewhere, when Hai Inh Pham said, "Lord, if you are there, I need to hear from you," he reached down, and you say yourself, well, I wouldn't touch it. Listen, if you hadn't seen the Word in 2.5 years, you don't know what you would go through to get the Word if you were in that situation where he was. And so he got a rag and he cleaned the pages off the best he could. And he found one page that he could read, and it was in Romans chapter 8. And this is what he said when he read Romans chapter 8, verses 35 and 36. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And at that moment, when he read that nasty page that he could clean off the best he could, he realized something, that it didn't really matter where he was or what he was going through. God had not left him. And you know what? God hasn't left you and I either. You might be in a pit right now, and it may be messy, but don't hang up. Don't give up on God. Because Hyene, after reading this page, he knew that it was more than just a relevant message of conviction and strength. But for one, it was on the verge of surrendering of the threat of evil. He regained his faith and his strength. Hyene ended up weeping. He cried out to God, asking for forgiveness for his faith and doubting. For this was the first day in years that he had finally determined that he wasn't going to pray anymore until he came across this Word of God. Each day after that, Hyene picked up a portion of Scripture and he cleaned it off and he added it to his nightly devotional reading. Well, finally the day came, through an equally providential set of circumstances, that Hyene was able to be released. But as soon as he was released from that rehabilitation camp, he knew he had to get out of Vietnam. So he promptly began to make plans to escape from the country. And after several unsuccessful attempts, he decided, I've got to build a boat. We've got to get out of here some way. So he started building a boat in secret. And 53 others also had planned to go with him. And Hyene was taking the lead in this escape effort. And all was going according to plan until a short while before the date of their departure, 4 Viet Cong soldiers had knocked on Hyene's door. And when he opened it up, they accosted him and said, you know, I heard you were trying to escape. Is it true? They demanded. Hyene immediately denied it and went on to distract them with some concocted story to explain his activities of what he was doing. So apparently convinced, they reluctantly left, and Hyene was relieved, but he was very disappointed with himself. He said, Lord, here I go again, trying to steer my own destiny. Too unteachable in my spirit to really believe that you can lead me past any obstacle that's before me. So he made a promise to God, fervently hoping that the Lord wouldn't take him up on it, but he prayed that if those Viet Cong soldiers came back again, that he would tell them the truth. Well, sure enough, only a few hours before they were set to sail that evening, the 4 Viet Cong men stood at their door of his home. And they said to him, he said, we have sources and we know that you're trying to escape. Is it true? Hyene gave the answer. He said, yes, I am with 53 others. Are you going to imprison me again? And there was a long pronounced pause. And then they leaned in forward and then they whispered, no, we want to escape with you. So as they concluded the story, he said, you know, those 4 Viet Cong fishermen, they were quite skilled at handling a boat. And if it wasn't for the sailing ability of those 4 Viet Cong, we wouldn't have made it through the violent storm that we encountered on the sea. They knew how to handle that boat in a storm. And so they safely arrived in Thailand, and years later, Hyene arrived on American soil, where today he's a businessman. And Hyene is forever grateful to America and praying that she would open her heart as a nation to Christ. But at 11:59, you might feel that everything's stuck. But if you hang on at the edge of midnight, your miracle will be coming soon. And as I conclude this morning, I just know that midnight miracles are coming. And I believe that both you and I are standing at the edge of something big. You might be at your 11:59, but you and I are just one moment away from a breakthrough that God can provide for us. And when God shows up, it's going to be suddenly, and the doors and the chains will fall off. And we'll walk into this new thing that God has been preparing for us all along without us even knowing it. So don't give up. Keep praying, keep praising, keep moving forward. Your midnight miracle is on the way. As the worship team makes their way to the stage this morning, and before we finish today, I just want to extend this invitation to anyone who feels like they've been stuck at their 11:59 moment. Maybe you've been feeling the weight of the world on you. Maybe it just feels like it's on your shoulders. Or maybe you feel like God has put you on hold and you're not sure if you can really hold on much longer. And I just want to encourage you to take a step of faith today. And if that's you, and if you're saying, I'm at my 11:59, I need God to show up, I'd invite you to come forward as we sing in a moment. Maybe you've been discouraged, or maybe you felt like God has forgotten you. Maybe you're going through a battle that you didn't sign up for. I didn't cause this, but you're still going through a battle. Or maybe you're just tired of wondering, is my midnight miracle ever going to come? I just believe our midnight miracle is on the way. But we've got to press through, church. We've got to press through and make the choice to trust God in the waiting. And so after we pray and we begin to close in praise, if you'd like to come forward, we would like to pray over you. We want to agree for you that the midnight shift for doors to open, for chains to fall, and for breakthrough to come in God's perfect timing. Don't let 11:59 steal your faith. God's going to meet you here. Whether it's for healing, whether it's for provision, or whether it's just for a fresh touch of His peace, we're going to believe and He's going to move today. And so as our team is playing and after the prayer, if you feel led, just come forward. God's waiting to meet you right where you are. And as our prayer counselors come forward at this time, please join me as we